All right. We are your pre-storm coverage, pre-storm 2018. And what a great weekend to have a Chicago travel and adventure show going on, because we need to get the heck out of here. Guidebook author, travel TV host, and all-around great guy Rick Steves on the line with us. And you will be at that Chicago travel and adventure show this weekend, will you not?
That's right. Looking forward to coming.
Rick, is it equal parts travel and equal parts adventure, or do they divvy it up a little differently?
Depends on where you travel and how you travel.
That's fair.
All right. I have to admit, I'm not a really good traveler. I think it's more of a hassle to pack and get things out, but everyone else I know loves to travel. Your book, Travel as a Political Act, How to Leave Your Baggage Behind. It is a definite political atmosphere right now, and people need to be nice to one another. When you go to other countries, do you find that they're pleasant and lovely?
Yes, I do. I spend 4 months a year overseas. I've written 50 guidebooks about traveling all over Europe. We take 20,000 people on our tours. We take about 1,000 tours around Europe every year with my staff here at Rick Steves Europe in Seattle. And I think the world is filled with love and beautiful people and lots of joy. Now, news kind of paints a different picture. But when you travel and you hang out in a pub in Ireland, or if you go walking on the Passeggiata in Italy, or if you go hiking in the Alps and share a chalet with a bunch of nature-loving Swiss people, you find the world is a beautiful place.
Rick, there was some apprehension from some to go to South Korea for the Olympics because of its proximity to North Korea. Would that make you nervous to be anywhere near there right now?
No.
No, not at all.
You know, it's just, well, I wouldn't be nervous about it, no. I've been to a lot of places where you feel nervous until you get there, and then you're glad you've gone. I mean, I've been to Iran recently. I've been to Palestine. I've been to Russia. I've been to Egypt. And my richest travel experiences are from the places that I had a little bit of apprehension before I went. But it depends on your temperament. If you're nervous to go to Korea right now, don't go. You don't need to go to Korea right now. I just canceled out of a trip to Egypt right now because I don't think it's a good time to go to Egypt. It's just a little bit uptight in Egypt. I don't like their government, and I just don't want to encourage Americans to go to Egypt until they straighten things out. On the other hand, I've been to Israel and Palestine lately. I think Israel and Palestine are always in a state where people who wouldn't go to Korea would be nervous about going to the Holy Land. You'd never go to the Holy Land. You don't need to go. You can go to Orlando for the rest of your life and be what you think is really safe. But the irony is, it's more dangerous statistically for you to go to Orlando than it is for you to go to Paris or Istanbul.
Explain that, and, please, Rick.
Well, statistically, I'm not talking emotions, I'm talking statistics. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a time when people said bon voyage, and now people say have a safe trip. But, you know, I'm inclined when somebody tells me I have a safe trip to say, well, you have a safe stay at home, because where I'm going is statistically, and I know statistics are optional these days, but statistically where I'm going is safer than where you're staying. 1,000 people are killed every year in Nashville. I mean, this is just a fact. There's a lot of homicides in our country. I don't focus on them because I don't think it's that dangerous. But if you're going to focus on safety, remember, you are many times safer in Europe, regardless of what's going on with terrorism, than you are here. Since 9/11, overseas, only a couple of dozen Americans have been killed by terrorists. But we've changed our whole way of looking at the world because of this risk of terrorism. And in Europe, you know, there's 400 million people there. If somebody is killed tomorrow by a terrorist in Europe, we'll all freak out. Not because it's dangerous, but because news in our country has morphed into entertainment masquerading as news. And the more scary they can make it, the more they can charge for their ads and the more money they'll make. Back in the days of Walter Cronkite, I believe commercial news stations gave the news to our society without having to make a profit on it because it was part of their contribution to our democracy. Today, with the power of corporations and the almost legal obligation for them to profit maximize for their shareholders in the short term, they can no longer afford to give us the news without amping it up and jacking it up and making everything a crisis, and less sophisticated consumers of news get all wigged out. But those of us who travel understand the world is not a scary place. The most fearful people in our country right now are the people buried deep in the middle of it without a passport who watch too much TV news.
You know what, Steve? It's Steve Bertrand in the Newsroom. I want to push back on you a little bit there. I agree in general with what you're saying, but I know you remember. I remember the name Leon Klinghoffer from the early 80s. Was an American killed on a cruise ship And, you know, the was widely reported and all of that. And that inhibited people from traveling even back then. I have a friends back then who canceled plans.
Oh, yeah. And that's a great example of overreacting to one terrible event. You know, I've been on cruise ships lately, and millions of people go on cruises, and one man is killed by terrorists, and it's great news, and people overreact to it. I guess what I'm saying is these are specific horrible incidents that people who let their emotions override their sensibilities, they confuse fear and risk. And the irony is, if we stop traveling, I think the world will become a more dangerous place. It's more important than ever right now that Americans get out there and gain an empathy for the other 96% of humanity. It's not going to go away. And we can't, you know, I think we're safer if we get into a mindset where we build bridges instead of building walls. But, you know, we can debate that. But the people I know who travel feel pretty strongly that when you travel, you humanize the world. It makes it tougher for their propaganda to demonize us. And when we get home, it makes it tougher for our propaganda to dehumanize or demonize them. And I think that's a constructive thing, especially in this day and age.
That's a good point.
Very good.
Travel as a Political Act, How to Leave Your Baggage Behind. Rick Steves on the line with us. He will be at the Chicago Travel and Adventure Show happening this weekend. Where's that going on? I don't have that information.
I think it's a big convention center out by...
yeah, it's usually in Rosemont.
Donald E. Stevens Convention Center.
All right, perfect.
Rosemont.
You know, I have some friends who are traveling overseas, some that are going to Mexico, and they feel the need to wear a T-shirt that says, I didn't vote for Donald Trump, because they don't want to deal with being responsible for what's in the White House right now. Do people around the world, have you traveled a lot since Donald Trump has been in office, and do people look at us differently now?
You know, I've traveled 4 months a year, every year for the last 30 years, and we've had people who are in the White House that are not very popular overseas. You know, if Europe voted for presidents, we'd always have a Democrat in the White House. Europe is a more liberal, more social-oriented country, our continent. And, you know, it's reasonable to think that we have to, apologize for our president, but Europe knows that goofy things can happen politically. Italy had Berlusconi. I mean, there's all sorts of clowns in positions of power all over Europe. And, you know, people just roll their eyes and they just marvel at the electorate is not any more sophisticated than it is. As far as traveling in Europe goes, I know for certain, because we take 20,000 people on 1,000 tours around Europe every year, and we're very concerned about how our travelers are received on a Rick Steves tour in Europe, that Europeans accept us as individuals, and they may be curious about our politics, but the ideals of America, you know, freedom, democracy, work hard, get ahead, pluralism, all that great stuff, they're still shining inspirations on this planet, regardless of who's in the White House. And I think it's just for travel. For me now, you just got to develop a good eye roll when people talk about our president. And you got to learn how to explain what the, what is the college that elected the president? The Electoral College.
Yes. Yeah.
Europeans are. I've got my little spiel about how how American democracy is not quite representative. But it's fun to talk about Trump in Europe. Italians are happy because we don't always talk about Berlusconi anymore. And there's no reason to hide the fact that you're American. I've been traveling, as I said, ever since I was a kid, and a lot of people, you know, Canadian flags sell really well in the United States for people traveling.
Yeah.
And I've always felt that it's much better for me to be known as an American. I'm an ambassador to America when I travel, and I want to be able to talk to people. If you are a Trump supporter and you don't want to be in a fight, just don't talk politics. Europeans don't push you to talk politics. If you're a combative kind of right winger and you want to go to Europe and debate, you're going to find some very, very talented debaters to go up against in the pubs, and that could be fun. If you happen to be a progressive American and you go to Europe, you're surrounded by friends. So, but it's a great time to travel, and I think it's a more important time to travel. And I think the mission of my book, Travel as a Political Act, is just to share the lessons I've learned from traveling out of my comfort zone for 25 years, to share all of those most important lessons in places like Iran and Morocco and Turkey and Palestine and Russia and Denmark and the Netherlands and Ireland, and let Americans know that this is just a fascinating world to travel in, and when we travel and get out of our comfort zone, we can take home the most beautiful souvenir, and that's a broader perspective.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Well said. It's Rick Steves, everybody. His book is Travel as a Political Act, How to Leave Your Baggage Behind, and you can see him live and in person this weekend at the Chicago Travel and Adventure Show at the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont. Find him on Twitter, at Rick Steves, and then his website is ricksteves.com. Rick, great to talk to you again. We hope you have a great weekend.
Well, thanks a lot, and I'm looking forward to coming to Chicago. A lot of good travelers there.
Yep.
Thank you.
Take care, Rick. It's Rick Steves, Wendy.
He's good.
Yeah?
He really good. Somebody said he should have a radio show here.
Oh, all right. We will make that happen. We'll take a quick break. Steve has some news, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.